Now I'll discuss about the ion chromatography. Ion chromatography is a unique application of post-column conversion that is used for ionic analysis, especially for small ions. It takes advantage of the separating power of high efficiency ion exchangers with the ability of the conductivity detector to detect ions and only ions with great sensitivity. The ability of ion exchangers to accomplish remarkable separation, as for example the amino acid analysis applications, and it has long been known. However, the problem has been finding an appropriate means to detect them. Unlike amino acids, no general reaction is known for many analyte ions that will render them detectable by optical absorption by post-column reaction. Many ions of interest do not have sufficient optical absorption to be directly determined sensitively. And unlike heavy metal ions, the alkali metal ions or ammonium do not easily form a complex in aqueous solution that can be optically detected. Let alone detection after chromatographic separation, the measurement of one of the most ubiquitous ions, that means sulfates, at low to sub ppm levels was a major analytical challenge. While conductivity does sensitively detect ions, we have already discussed previously that the electroneutrality requires an ionic eluent to displace analyte ions and elute them from an ion exchange column. It would be difficult, if not impossible, to see trace ionic analytes eluting in a high conductivity, high ionic concentration relative to analytes, eluent background by monitoring conductivity change. In the year 1975, this problem was solved by Hamish Small, Timothy Steven and William Bowman at Dow Chemical Company. They demonstrated a way to remove the background eluent using a second ion exchange column for post-column conversion of the eluent to a less conductive form and the analyte to a more conductive form, thus allowing very sensitive detection of the analyte. This second column is called the suppressor because it suppresses the eluent conductivity and also enhances the analyte conductivity compared to the original form. For anion analysis, the suppressor is a cation exchange column in the hydrogen ion forms. For cation analysis, the separation column is a cation exchange column and the suppressor is an anion exchange column in the OH- form, that means hydroxide form. Now I'll discuss about the anion chromatography. That means ion chromatography dealing with the anion. Let us imagine that the eluent MX is NaOH, such that the first column, the separator, is in the OH minus form. As the eluent NaOH enters the suppressor, the Na plus is replaced by hydrogen ion, thus forming water. This enters the detector. The poor conductivity of pure water providing for a very low detector background. If salts MA, M2B and M2C are injected into the system, then A minus, B2 minus and C3 minus are retained by the separator respectively, releasing two numbers or three numbers hydroxide ions previously occupied the ion exchange sites. The M plus is not retained by the separator and immediately passes through the void volume. It enters the suppressor as MOH, where the M plus is exchanged for H plus and water is formed again. There is thus no void response, that means water in water. Imagine that A minus, B2 minus and C3 minus, these three anions elute from the separator in that order and enter the suppressor as NaA, N2B and N3C, and after exchange of Na plus for H plus, and it exits the suppressor respectively as HA, H2B and H2C. Here one thing we have to remember, that these HA, H2B and H2C are not very weak acid, because these acids are fully or at least partially ionized. This registers as an increased conductivity signal on a pure water background. A hydroxide eluent leads to pure water as background and therefore has the lowest background conductivity, baseline noise and then the best LODs compared to other eluents. LOD means limit of detection. If gradient elution is executed where the hydroxide eluent concentration is increased during the run, in principle, the background still remains water and there is no baseline change. However, for a variety of reasons, which again we'll discuss later, in the early stage of the development of ion chromatography, a hydroxide eluent could not be used. Salts of weak acids, mostly notably sodium carbonate and or bicarbonate, are used as eluent. Sodium tetraborate and sodium paracyanophenolate were also used. The different suppressor reactions for the different eluents would be, number one, NaOH for the cation exchange for H plus will convert to the H2O, Na2CO3 for the cation exchange of H plus will convert to H2CO3, Na2B4O7 for the cation exchange for H plus will convert to 4BOH whole thrice. Another reaction, CnC6H4ONa for cation exchange for H plus will convert to CnC6H4OH. In all these cases, the suppressed background is water or a weak, very weak acid that has a low conductivity background, on which enhanced conductivity signals from a stronger acid analyte can be seen. In a similar fashion, strong acid eluents, as for example CH3SO3H, are used in suppressed cation chromatography. The separation column is therefore in the H plus form, alkali, alkaline earth metals and ammonium are the cationic analytes that can be determined by suppressed cation chromatography. The need for subsequent passage through an OH minus. It forms anion exchanger suppressor, which means that only cations that form soluble hydroxides can be measured. In the suppressor, CH3SO3 minus is replaced by OH minus, thus forming water from CH3SO3H. Other strong acids can also be used as eluent. And this water is act as the background. While from the While the Li plus Na plus Ca2 plus leave the suppressor as LiOH, NaOH, CaOH hold twice and are sensitively detected. Unlike compressed anion chromatography, where analytes form the corresponding acids and very few acids are insoluble, the number of metals or cationic analytes that form soluble hydroxides are far more limited. Coupled to the fact that many atomic spectrometric alternatives are available for the determination of metals, suppressed anion chromatography is used far more commonly than its cation counterparts. Single column or non-suppressed ion chromatography. In short, it is called the SCIC. Now I'll discuss on it. It is possible to carry out conductometric ion chromatography without suppression. The considerable success of suppressed ion chromatography and the limitations of original packed column suppressor led others to seek alternatives to this patented technique. The key to this is that in any type of ion exchange, the electron neutrality is always obligatory preserved. Therefore, the effluent concentration from an ion exchange concentration in ionic equivalent per liter is also always constant. If one is working with an X milliequivalent per liter NaOH eluent in an anion chromatography system, then the concentration of Na plus in the column effluent remains constant at X milliequivalent per liter. When, say, the sulfate ion eludes from the column, if the concentration of sulfate ions at the peak is Y milliequivalent per liter, then the concentration of the hydroxide ions at that point must be X minus Y milliequivalent per liter, as the total anion equivalent concentration must be X milliequivalent per liter to maintain electron neutrality. Now, evolution of suppressor. I'll discuss on it in very brief. Consider that in suppressed anion chromatography, the suppressor column initially in the H plus form is gradually converted to the Na plus form as NaOH passes through it. Obviously, the column will eventually be completely converted to the Na plus form and will no longer work. The original implementation of suppressed ion chromatography used two suppressor columns. While one was being used, the other was being regenerated to the H plus form by regeneration with acid and then washed thoroughly with water using a second pump. When a water washed suppressor is switched to the eluent being used, it takes significant time for the baseline to stabilize. Second, to get significant operational time, the suppressor column must contain some significant volume of resin. The suppressor column was generally significantly larger than the separator column. The dispersion in the suppressor thus limited the overall separation efficiency. Third, the hydration extent of an H plus form and a Na plus form cation exchange resin are not the same. The H plus form cation exchange internally holds more water, while the strong acid anion are excluded from the interior of a cation exchange resin. There is no such restriction against the molecular form of a partially ionized acid. That is, acetate ions may be excluded from the interior of a cation exchanger, but unionized acetic acid molecules is not. Thus, the columnar suppressor does not cause additional retention of strong acid anions, but it does of the weak acid anions. Moreover, this additional retention is less for the sodium ion form of the suppressor compared to the hydrogen ion form. And this hydrogen ion form has more internal water. Consequently, as the suppressor is used and it is converted from the hydrogen ion to the sodium ion form, there is a minor decrease in the retention of the weak acid anions, complicating retention time-based identification. Fourth, reactive and easily decomposed acids like nitrous acid or thiosulfuric acid can undergo significant decomposition during the long process through a significant suppressor column volume. One solution is not to use a large volume suppressor that will last for several hours of operation, but to use a very small volume columnar suppressor that has enough capacity to carry a single chromatogram. The system then can switch to another identical suppressor for the next chromatogram. In the current commercial incarnation of this concept, there are three identical microscale columnar suppressors incorporated within a programmable rotating valve. While one processes the separation column effluent and directs it to the detector, the second and third are washed and regenerated, both with the low pressure pumps respectively. And when the third compressor suppressor start being washed, and then number one columnar suppressor is regenerated and so on. Now I'll talk about the membrane device in ion chromatography. The membrane based suppressor actually predates the above rotating column suppressors. A membrane suppressor for anion chromatography is shown schematically in a figure mentioned in this book. In a typical embodiment, the anion exchanger column effluent, which is alkyne, it flows through a cation exchanger, either a tube or two planar cation exchange membranes, and the exterior of which is bathed by an acid. The sodium ion, that means sodium cation, is exchanged for hydrogen ion, and barring mass transfer limitation, the exchange is virtually quantitative. The transmembrane passage of analyte or the regenerant anion is inhibited by the negative charge of the cation exchange membrane. Note that the completion of the exchange is driven by the proton gradient across the membrane. If one used a continuous stream of sodium chloride instead of sodium hydroxide, then the exchange will not be quantitative. No net exchange will occur when the internal H plus ions concentration equal to the external hydrogen ions concentration. Continuous regeneration of membrane suppressor keeps the state of the suppressor the same at all times, permitting results reproducible over time. Although the exact value depends on the design, the membrane suppressor have a lower back pressure tolerance than packed column suppressor. The membrane suppressor allows electrodialytic regeneration where the eluent cation is removed by an electric field gradient and electrolytically generate H plus takes its place. It should be noted that potentials above the electrolytic thresholds must be applied, but the electrodes are isolated by the two membranes from the central channel, so no gas is formed in the central channel. Such electrodialytic suppressors have substantial capacity, 200 millimole potassium hydroxide flowing at 1 milliliter per minute can be completely converted to water, for example. Convenient recycling of the detector waste in the outer channel makes such recycled electrodialytic suppressor the most commonly used suppression mode. However, this chemical regeneration leads to the lowest attainable detector noise. Now I'll talk about electrodialytic membrane device for eluent generation and carbonate removal. Although it was long recognized that a hydroxide eluent like potassium hydroxide or sodium hydroxide will be the best choice compared, as for example, to the carbonate or borate eluents due to the poor eluting power of hydroxide ions, high eluent concentrations are needed, and this quickly exhausted the columnar suppressor that then needed frequent regeneration. The development of more hydroxide selective anion exchange functionalities allowed lower hydroxide concentrations to be used, and electrodialytic suppressors greatly increased the hydroxide effluent's concentration that could be successfully suppressed and making hydroxide effluents much more attractive. The invariant background that would be expected for a hydroxide effluent gradient, however, was not realized because impurity anions are present in a prepared hydroxide effluents. These accumulate on the column during the initial portion of the gradient and then elute as a large hump as the effluent strength increase. The highest purity alkali hydroxides available still contain detectable levels of impurity ions. Because of the way it is manufactured, the sodium hydroxide always contains sodium chloride and sodium chlorate, for example. Further, no matter how pure the effluent initially may be, it manages to form carbonate as we live in a virtual ocean of carbon dioxide. These problems are solved by electrodialytically generating the hydroxide effluents. To generate potassium hydroxide, a low pressure reservoir contains potassium hydroxide as a source for potassium ion and a platinum anode is disposed therein. A stack of cation exchange membranes connect it to the high pressure cathode site, through which water is pumped by the chromatographic pump. When a current is applied, the potassium ion is transported to the cathode side where the hydroxide ions and hydrogen molecules are produced. The stream of potassium hydroxide and hydrogen molecule as gas is then proceed downstream to the rest of the system. That means injector, column, suppressor, detector. Via a gas permeable Teflon AF tube, the suppressor regenerant waste flow outside the AF tube. The generated hydrogen gas is transported through the walls of the tube due to the pressure differential. An electrical effluent generator like this has several attractive attributes. The first and most important is that any anion impurity in the low pressure reservoir is not transported to the generated effluent in the cathode chamber, both because of the cation exchange membranes and the direction of the electrical field. Second, the amount of potassium hydroxide formed on the cathode side is directly proportional to the applied current, as governed by the Faraday's laws. As a constant water flow rate through the cathode chamber, the effluent concentration is thus directly proportional to the current. To generate an effluent gradient, multiple pumps or solenoid selection valves on the low pressure side are not necessary. The effluent concentration is programmed by programming the current. Third, the use of an effluent generator requires the chromatography pump to pump only pure water, reducing pump maintenance needs and prolonging piston shield life. Electrolytic generators to generate lithium hydroxide, sodium hydroxide, potassium hydroxide, potassium carbonate and MSA are commercially available. The potassium hydroxide generator is the most commonly used because potassium ion has the highest mobility of the alkali metals and thus leads to the lowest voltage drop and least joule heating across the generator membrane. The greater mobility of potassium ion also allows more facile removal in an electrodialytic suppressor, allowing the largest eluent concentration to be suppressed. The potassium carbonate generator makes pure carbonate, but part of the potassium can be taken out in a controlled fashion by a cation exchange membrane based electrodialytic device to make a carbonate bicarbonate eluent. The purity of an electrodialytically generated hydroxide eluent is primarily governed by the purity of the water pumped into the cathode chamber. If the water contains dissolved carbon dioxide, it will be converted to carbonate when the hydroxide eluent is produced. To remove any non-hydroxide anions from the generated eluents, a secondary purifier called a continuously regenerated anion trap column is often used after the eluent generator. The continuously regenerated anion trap column, in short, it is CR-ATC, all in capital letters. The CR-ATC is basically an anion exchange resin bed containing a cathode that is separated from a flowing water receptor, containing the anode by an anion exchange membrane. The impurity anions as well as some hydroxide ions are removed by the electrical field to the anode compartment, and fresh electrogenerated hydroxides at the cathode takes their place. Now I'll discuss about the post suppressor removal of carbon dioxide through a membrane device. Carbonate bicarbonate eluents were the first successful eluent in anion chromatography, and they are still widely used. The carbonic acid formed after suppression is the major contributor to the background conductivity and hence the background noise. The carbonic acid background can be removed if the suppressor effluent is passed through a carbon dioxide permeable membrane tube but outside with an alkaline absorber, as for example suppressor regenerant waste, and thus leading to lower background and better detection limits. Some other anions that form volatile acid gas will also be lost to various degrees. That means sulfur dioxide, hydrocyanic acid, etc. are lost significantly, but these acids are too weak to be detected by suppressed conductometric ion chromatography anyway. Organic acids like acetic or formic acids are lost only to a minor extent, and this loss is taken into account in the overall calibration procedure. Such a carbon dioxide removal device, which in short is called the CRD. The CRD thus permits carbonate based eluents to have a performance closer to that attained by a hydroxide eluents. Electrodialytic eluent generation, current programmable eluent gradients, and post column electrodialytic eluent modification, that means suppression, these are unique to ion chromatography among other HPLC techniques, and permit superb detection limits even without sample pre-concentration. But pre-concentration is also particularly facile in ion chromatography. A low pressure drop short concentrator column is substituted for the injection loop, and the desired amount of the sample is passed through this concentrator prior to it being switched to the inject position. Measurement of trace ionic impurities in water are of great importance in the nuclear powered industry, as even small levels of ions like chloride can cause corrosion problems. PPT, that means parts per trillion, levels of impurities are routinely measured in reactor cooling water after the pre-concentration of almost greater than 10 ml of sample. Ion exchange columns are thus commonly used in two-dimensional HPLC experiments, since aqueous ion chromatography eluents are very compatible with reverse phase chromatography separation in the second dimension, where the ion chromatography is in first dimension separation. The nitrophenol separation using an LCW based post column reactor utilizes analyte preconcentration on a ion exchange column and separation on a C18 silica column. C18 silica column is related to the reverse phase chromatography. The power of modern electrodialytically generated eluents, electrodialytically suppressed conductometric ion chromatography on high efficiency column. Such analysis would be difficult to perform by any other method. Finally, ion pair chromatography, perhaps more appropriately called the ion interaction chromatography, as ion pairs are rarely formed in the mobile phase. So this ion pair chromatography relies on the use of the salt of a hydrophobic cation or anion in the eluent in conjunction with a reverse phase column. For example, when a salt like tetrabutyl ammonium chloride is put in the eluent used with a C18 column, a significant amount of the tetrabutyl ammonium cation absorbs on the column, generating virtual anion exchange site. Both strong and weak acid anions can be separated. Although suppressed conductometric ion interaction chromatography has been demonstrated, typically optical detection methods are used. Here we have to remember that the peak material, PEEK, all in capital letters, full name is polyether ether ketone. This peak material tubing is commonly used to make plumbing connections between different components of an HPLC system. Peak is relatively inert and chemically resistant to most aqueous organic mobile phase composition. It is not appropriate for normal phase separation where a pure organic solvent is used, because this peak material is organic in nature. We have to remember this. Now we'll see that how the different components of an HPLC system will be connected. It is vital that there be a minimum of connection volume. The shortest connecting tube with narrowest possible bore should be used. Stainless steel or PEEK capillary tubes are typically used to connect system components. Tubing of 0.205 inch or 125 micrometer inner diameter is normally recommended for modern high efficiency HPLC or UHPLC systems.